Welcome back to this week's episode of Dylan Friends. This week on the show, I'm joined by the big Melbourne Bull, Christian Petrarca. Christian has established himself as an undisputed star in the world of footy, and he isn't going anywhere anytime soon. He's an incredibly social and friendly guy, and I love sitting down with him chatting about his journey so far. We touch on it all, how he took his game to the next level in 2020, off-season trips to the States, hanging out with Ben Simmons and LeBron, breaking down players' style and public brands in the AFL and why we don't embrace this in Australia, and much, much more. If you didn't already love this bloke, you will with the way he goes about it soon. Can't thank him enough for coming on the show. Hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And please, don't forget, if you enjoy the episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Let's go.
Welcome to the Dylan Friends Podcast. My name is Deborah, Dylan's mum. Strap yourselves in for some lighthearted and wholesome fun. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Christian Petrarca, welcome to the Dylan Friends Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Mate, what'd you think?
Did you write that?
I did.
It's nice.
That
some
was
grade six texter.
I must say, man, that was the hardest name I've written. Because like normally, do you know that, I don't know if this is a thing, I want to find the stat, but normally I feel like a first name is shorter than the last name.
That's usually correct.
Yours is one letter longer.
Is it really?
Yeah, 9 and 8.
Yeah, wow.
Mate, welcome to the show. It's unbelievable to have you here. And honestly, it is an absolute pleasure. I've been a big fan of your work for a long time. And we will go into how I first came to know Christian Petrarca, because it's a very weird story. But firstly, mate, what's been happening? How are you going off an incredible season? I might just add. So congratulations on that firstly.
Thank you.
And how's the off season been?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Obviously, the hub... And then for 5 months was pretty frustrating and hard at some times. But at the same time, we're up in Queensland. It was beautiful. Queensland's amazing. So we had a luxury of doing that. And then my missus and I, we went away for 5 weeks up in Queensland. So went to Noosa, Hamilton Island, Port Douglas. And sort of the perks of being up there in quarantine, you can sort of just stay up there. And both our families are pretty much telling us to stay up there as long as possible. And there's no point in coming down. So we were...
Oh, mate.
It was pretty frustrating for my family. I kept sending group chats and messages of me at the beach and I wouldn't get a reply. And my mum would message me just saying, I think you should just probably text them to me, not to your brother.
Yeah, that's it. Seriously. It was funny, like how, you know, we've only been in lockdown for like 3 or 4 weeks now, but I've sort of already forgotten about how hard it actually was. Like, it was a tough time down here, but seeing all the boys up in the Gold Coast, man, and one thing I actually am happy about, off topic, I know, but... You're a big traveling man. You love traveling.
Yep.
How much now seeing our own country, and I think for me even thinking about this, like we live in such a beautiful country. You don't realize how nice it is in Australia. Like we go to Europe, we go to US, all these places, but like we have the best like scenery and like we're the best country easily.
My girlfriend and I were saying that the whole time we're over there. We're like, I don't understand why people travel overseas. I mean, I've been traveling overseas a fair bit, so that's probably... But when you're up there, you think, well, the beaches are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
The food's amazing. You sort of know what you're going to get. It's an English-speaking language, so it's easier. It's easier.
Yeah.
So that was good. I guess probably the reason why we travel for so long is usually interstate travel is actually quite expensive with traveling.
It is.
So you may as well go to America and
100%.
extra 300, 400 bucks. And
yeah.
You're actually in a different country, so...
No, you're right. Yeah, you've just debunked that now. Thank you. The reason that just on that, the two places I do want to go in Australia, I've been thinking about them. Obviously, Queensland's one of them where I saw you spend a lot of time. I want to go to the Kimberleys in Darwin. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It looks unbelievable.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
I really want to go there.
We're fortunate enough to play.
You got affiliation with
the Northern Territory. Yeah. So we've played. I've played 3 games in Alice Springs and I think 3 games in Northern Territory. And then when I was in my first year, I did my ACL. I was fortunate enough to go up to Alice Springs in the rural areas, and it's amazing. Like it sort of gives you perspective. You're like, you know, they don't really care about who you are as long as you're in the kick of the footy with them or just walking around with them. And sometimes here, when you're complaining about traffic up there, you know, they don't really complain about anything, and they've got no running water or no real food. So that was probably the biggest thing I took out of. You know, that trip in Alice Springs. But Darwin's a beautiful place. I mean, there's so many waterfalls and
crocodiles.
Yeah, it is really, really cool. I know Stephen May's from there and he raves about it and he absolutely loves it.
He does. Mate, let's get into it. Now, obviously, Christian Petrarca, big name, very big name. So you can tell when we spoke and I locked you in for the show, I was wrapped. So I'll tell you a quick story. Because I went over here, we're in Albert Park at the moment. It was a hot day in Melbourne, which is rare. So you could work out which day it was. And we went to the beach with my mate. And I was telling my mate, I said, mate, you wouldn't believe it. Locked in the big truck next week. I'm pumped. He goes, bullshit. I know the truck. And my mate always says he knows people. Like he always says he knows people. And he never does.
Who is it?
And my mate, Jake Trotter, said he knows you from a long time ago.
Yep.
And he said that you two have beef. He said that you two still haven't gotten over something that happened back when you were about 9 or 10 years old at the Park Orchards Footy Club. You piffed a rock and it KO'd him in the eye.
What? I don't
He's
remember.
Accusing you of slicing his eye open with a rock.
It must have been a burger night.
It was a burger night. It was a burger night. That's what he said. It was a burger night.
I am Jake, if you're listening to this, I cannot remember that. And if you do accuse me of that, I apologize. But that's pretty full on.
Yeah, it's the accusation's full on, but I don't know.
Maybe
so
it's
you,
true.
You
I
deny.
That's
yeah. what. So I missed that part. It was a burger night at the Park Orchards.
It was a burger night.
Yeah, back in about 2006.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that is so funny.
Yeah. Oh. So there you go. No throwing rocks.
How's it going, Jake? Is he good?
He's been better.
Good.
I think he's still doing nutrition. I think he's had long term effects from it. To be honest. Oh, it's the only thing
How's
I can put
his,
it
is
down
his
to.
Eye, has he got his bad eyesight or something?
It's just mentally. I don't think he's
aware.
Wow.
I might have to give him a message after this.
Yeah, maybe. But I want to talk about my first memories of you, mate, because obviously you're a few years younger than me. But I remember one day there was a TAC Cup game on, and it was at Icon Park. And this is my first memories of you because I was obviously at Carlton at that stage, probably playing the VFL after this game. Yeah. So I was watching. I saw this kid and he was fucking big boy, like big boy. You were like, I reckon you were you bigger nearly then than you were now? Or is it just comparison to what?
I'm a lot leaner. Yeah, I'll give you that.
You, mate, you were like, when I say huge, I'm talking not big, I'm talking strong.
You can call me fat, it's
fine. No. We would not be saying that here. You're a big boy, but I remember you in the big number seven.
Yep, number seven.
Eastern Rangers.
Yep.
Sticks out, and you just you were dominating. It's what we're seeing today in 2020. Do you remember that? I'm sure you would because it was you.
Yeah, I did. We played all our finals at Icon Park, and I do remember a fair few games. I think there was a game against Geelong in the prelim where I probably played my best game.
I reckon that was it. Yeah,
but yeah, I was a bit of a heifer. I just think when you grow up, like I would. Grew up playing basketball, high level basketball and high level football. But it's not really until you get into like a system like TSC Cup or AFL where you understand nutrition and diet and fitness and you sort of get out, you understand it, but you don't really understand it. And
100%.
Yeah, like you understand what foods to eat and you understand, you know, you should be running and you should be working out, but you don't really get it.
And that's, I think, something that can really stuff with a young player as well. Like for me, when I got to footy, I was probably opposite. I couldn't put on weight. Yeah. So they were saying like, eat so much food, eat all this. And I'd used to eat till I'd like throw up just to try and put on weight. But then you speak to guys like Cade Simpson and he's like, he just knew that he played good at that weight. Yeah. So he didn't want to. But I suppose leading into the next point is when you first got to Richmond.
Jeez.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. When you first got to St Kilda. I'm joking. That was a joke, that one.
Is this guy serious?
When you first got to Melbourne. I'll just check that there. Check that. Pick two. Yep. Okay. When you first got to Melbourne, your first year there, how would you rate that? What did you come in like? I suppose you were pick two, obviously a very talented player.
Yep.
What were you first like when you got into the system?
I was pretty chaotic, to be honest. Yeah, I was very exuberant. Like I felt like I came with a lot of energy, a lot of confidence.
Yep.
And I don't think many guys knew that at the club. And it's probably, I've never been at the football club where there's so many other characters around me and so many personalities that you sort of got to handle. And I guess as well, it's a full-time job. We're TSC Cup. You're only training Tuesday night and Thursday night and that's it. And you go to school. So that was probably the hardest thing probably for my teammates probably get around me was that, you know, I got a lot of energy, a lot of confidence. So coming in, I probably weren't expecting a first year to sort of be like that. But I thought as time went on, you know, I guess they got used to me, I guess. So, but I was my first year, I did my ACL. So I was in rehab for 11 months. So that was very hard, very frustrating, very isolated. I had Jack Trengove with me who was out for, you know, 3.5 years, 4 years with a navicular injury. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise. When you look back at it and you go, having that year out, to sort of focus on your mental side of the game, focus on, you know, your physical preparation and being with someone who I think Jack Trengo is one of the stiffest blokes in the world, to be honest. I mean, he's one of the nicest guys, does everything right, ultimate professional, and someone that shouldn't be getting injuries like that. Because, his first 3 years at the AFL, first 2 years were unbelievable at Melbourne, and then captained the club, and then it sort of just derailed from there. And so someone like him in rehab was incredible. So many, gave me so much advice on, just being prepared, being organised. And it wasn't just about rehab, it was about more off the field, looking to do something off the field, like uni or something like that. And he was studying at the time. So, it was really, really beneficial for me.
You spoke about before, like coming in and probably coming in red hot, a lot of energy. And you said teammates probably weren't ready for it. Do you reckon like some guys and back then, especially being at Melbourne, when I think that was probably like nearly the lowest point when you came in, because you had yourself and Brayshaw came in pick 2 and 3.
Yep.
So it was probably like a time where the club wasn't obviously going too well. You had 2 like very highly rated players come in and you come in with a lot of energy. Did like older guys not like that? Or
I don't know. I can only probably speak from my perspective, but I felt like, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Felt like it was hard for them to get used to, I reckon. I've ADHD. I reckon I have ADHD. So
yeah.
self-diagnosed. So even in meetings and that, like I felt like I was just losing concentration very easily and getting distracted. And because it's full on. I think like not just for myself, but for any 17-year-old.
It's crazy.
You know, people don't realize like you're going from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 4:30 at night. And, it's a massive step. That's every day pretty much. And people don't realize it's a massive step up. And from when you first went to TSA Cup, you're doing 5:30 till 8 o'clock at night and that's it.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. I think a lot of people like still ask footballers, I know, like, oh, what do you do during the day? Mm. It's like, it's so hard to explain, but you are there all day and it just doesn't stop.
And even on your day off, you're like compulsory. Like, oh, you should get a massage or come in for some treatment or go for a swim or do something like that. So you're pretty much there. Even if you're off the, back at home, you're still thinking about
100%
what you should be doing.
With the knee, obviously in the first year, not ideal. And you said it was a bit of a blessing. What did you learn in that time, I suppose, mindset-wise? Was it just more about that preparation, like you said, your diet, getting strong, being a professional athlete? Did you reckon that sort of just gave you that year to get that right?
Yeah, definitely. I think probably more just that nothing's guaranteed. I think, I've always been a high-level player in everything I've done and I've always been very successful as a junior, always won awards. And then my first year, I'm pick number 2, sort of all going to the plan, the way I've sort of perceived my whole life pretty much. I've played pretty well every year. And then bang, ACL. It's like, well, shit. I've done everything so well from 17 years old to 18. And first time I get an actual gig at a club, I've done my ACL straight away. And you just hear so many stories of guys who are so talented or who, risk injuries sort of, ruin their career. And, you just hear that constant battle in your head is just every day, am I going to be the same player? What's it going to be like? But for me, it was just about harnessing that and just embracing being in rehab. And I feel like, it's not setting long-term goals. It's all about setting short-term goals and focusing on the day and focusing on being in present and not worrying about the future. Because when you worry about the future, I feel like you get a lot more anxious than what you are. So if you focus on just, being in present and it's sort of still with me today, like if you just focus on being in the present, focus on the now, then, the rest will just take care of itself.
I love that, man. I do. I think that's so true. Like not even just in footy, just in life. Like the moment you start thinking too far in the future, you freak out about shit that's not even like, it might not even happen.
Exactly
right. It might not even happen to do with. But no, you're so right. And even just saying that there about, you've been in high-level sport your whole time and you've always had setbacks through that, but nothing as big as that.
Not a long-term injury like that. Like
was that
little niggles and that.
Yeah, was that like a time where, did it cross your mind thinking, and this is dramatic saying this, but again, all these things cross your mind when you look into the future, don't worry about the present. Did you actually think, fuck, like, maybe this isn't going to happen anymore? Is that when like self-doubt does sort of kick in?
Yeah, 100%. The first, when you do your knee, the first 48 hours, you don't really know what's going on. Or when you do a long-term injury, you sort of don't know what's going on. You just sort of, everyone's sort of ushering you to do stuff and, go get a scan and media are there and, sort of everyone's sort of wishing you all the best and stuff. And then it's not really, I reckon, a month or 2 months in when you're actually in the heart of the, or in the deep of the rehab. And you think this is going to be a long road back. Like I'm only 2 months in and I'm already struggling. You're doing box squats for every day, you're doing 100 reps and it's pretty frustrating. It's just you and the gym coach. And I got some funny stories of the gym coach. He was like a narc. Like he was like,
yeah.
it was pretty funny. He goes to me the day one, he goes, all right, track, like, you know, this is like a little humble abode. Like, if you have anything to say about the club, or if you have frustrations about a player or something, you just say it here. Like, I won't hold any grudges. You know, I want you to feel comfortable in the gym. And I reckon I was probably 6 days in and we'd done about 100 sets of hamstring curls. And am I allowed to swear?
Yes.
Yeah. And I remember getting off the machine. I was like, fucking hell, I'm so fucking sick of this.
Yeah.
And he cracked it at me. And he goes, mate, none of that shit. Like, none of this negativity in here. This is a place of, you know, pretty much contradicted what he said.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you just told me like 4 days ago. Yeah. He goes, nah, never said that. And I'm like, well, okay, well, you did. And he goes, and then he's like, are you back chatting me? Like, like, pretty much cracked it at me. And I was like, from then I was like, this is going to be a long 12 months if we're doing this every day.
Fast forward, man, because it's gone from your draft to 2019. Talk about that space in between before 2020. How would you say you were tracking along in your career?
It's a good question.
Was it meeting up to expectation? Do you think like you were comfortable in where you were? Did you think you were going to go off, or do you think that, yeah?
You always have expectation of the player and the person you want to be on the field and off the field. And I think the first couple of years, I felt like it was good. I felt like, you know, I was coming back from a knee, less expectation about me. My first couple of years, I felt like I was just going out there and playing, having fun, enjoying it. And there was sort of that time where you're like, okay, like you're 21 now, like it's time to switch on. Not time to switch on. It's more like, all right, you know, you need to start hitting those accolades. Like, you know, we want to make finals, we want to win a premiership. You want to be an All-Australian, you want to be stuff like that. And the last 2 years, I felt like it's really derailed me. It's felt like, you know, when you focus on individual accolades or you focus on things way too much, you actually get further away from it. Mm. I feel like this year probably been the biggest thing for me is actually just stripping everything back and just going out there and playing and having fun and just really enjoying, like when you were as a kid. And I felt like that's probably the reason why I've had this year in terms of 2020 is because, or even last year in 2019, my back end was the same. We weren't going great as a club, and I was sort of just, you know what, like, I'm just gonna go out and play. Like, I'm so sick of structure. I'm so sick of, you know, I have to play this position. I was like, I'm just gonna go out and play on my natural instinct, have fun. And as soon as I felt like the club sort of embraced me being instinctual and even myself, like, you know, not getting stressed of how I'm playing, not worrying about touches or what, not worrying about goals, all that stuff actually came.
Yeah.
So this year was a massive year for me in terms of, okay, well, I'm going to the midfield. I've worked bloody hard off the field on my mindset, you know, preparation physically and mentally. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just focus on the game and the rest will just take care of itself. And it did, I guess, on the field.
No, it definitely did, man, because I think back now, and it's funny, you know, and I know that you're a fan of mindset. I love the way, you know, successful people go about things. But if you think about that mindset for yourself in saying you're going to strip it back, just go out there and do your thing, which is something that is obviously that's, you know, that works for you and it definitely did. But then you look at the counterpart and the guy that probably yourself and Lachie Neale had two of the best seasons. Like, you could have either way won the Brownlow medal. And then in his post-match, like post-Brownlow thing, I remember him saying that like he wrote down like these things, yeah, where you were saying like that.
I was actually to say, because I do those things.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Well, my goals are actually, I have goals, obviously. I don't think everyone should have goals.
Yeah.
But I don't actually, I focus on them and I don't worry about them as much as I used to.
So you sort of like, put it out there.
I put it out there to the universe.
Yeah.
I put it out there
to myself. I love it. No, that man, got good. That's the show.
I put it out there. I think about it every day. I've got a vision board. I do all that stuff, but it's not necessarily worrying about, like, it's going to come. Like, it's going to happen.
It's already happened.
It's already happened.
You're just waiting
for it to
do.
The future's happened. It's just waiting to happen.
Oh man, I love that. So
I felt like, I felt like during the games, probably the last 2 or 3 years, during games, I'll be thinking about it.
Too much.
Yeah.
You miss a kick and you think, you put it out there, you say what you want to do. So I'm going to just break this down, and you don't have to say what you put on it and stuff, but will you sort of go, start of the year, you write down, these are the things that I want to achieve.
Yep.
Now I'll put them in the back of my mind
and
just do my thing and have fun and play and just play instinctively. And with this in the back of my mind, they're going to happen.
Yep. And that's not just on the field, but also off field. Like, I have a vision board for off the field and on the field of the person I want to be, Like, for example, I got a photo group, like, little thing. And, like, Jordan Lewis is someone that I've really idolized. So I've got a photo of him. Like, I just love the way he goes about life on the field and off the field.
Yeah.
So it's someone that I've sort of look up to. So I've got a photo of him. And it's sort of, when you sort of look through the photos, you sort of just like, all right, you know, you sort of just think about it and sort of how you want to feel about it. And, yeah.
Mate, I love it. And I've been wanting to do this for the last few weeks because when I finished up footy in Sydney, I wrote, bought a diary and I wrote down like everything I was grateful for, everything that like I loved doing, you know. And then after that, I wrote down all the things that I want to get, but I wrote down them more like I had them.
Yep.
So you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I wrote 100%. Down saying like, I'm going to be having a podcast full time.
Yeah, 100%.
I will be doing this. I'll be doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am doing this. Yeah. I am doing this. Yeah. And I went back and looked at the other day and every single thing I wrote down,
It's crazy.
And like you said, you don't think like throughout the year, it didn't actually click to me that I was still doing it, but it's just that subconscious sort of thing.
And I think when I first got to the, into the league, I felt all that, it's probably when it's just started that mindfulness and meditation and, yeah, the relaxation type stuff. I thought it was the biggest wank. I thought you're making me calm down. Like I'm all about energy and confidence and like, you know, why would I want to slow down for? And then like probably it wasn't until, you know, COVID, I was down the beach with my girlfriend down Sorrento and we're living there for a month. And I reckon just being around the beach, like, you know, you go for walks, you chill out, you listen to the beach, and then being up in Maroochydore is the same. Like, I'd wake up every morning at 6:30, sit on the beach for half an hour. You don't actually have to do meditation or mindfulness. You just sort of sit and breathe and just relax and chill out. And having that time for yourself, I guess, and just sort of, you know, focusing on yourself and worrying about, you know, what you can do.
100%. Last bit on this, because I can get really caught up talking about this stuff.
I'm the exact same.
I just love your mindset on this. But when you said before, like, people think mindset's like a wank and, fuck doing that, that's not going to do anything. Yeah, you're right. If you have that mindset, it won't do anything for you. But, like, if you do, if you are open to it and you do practice it, you do see the benefits.
Yep.
So, like, it's one of those things. If you're into it,
do it.
Do it.
Yep.
If you're not, well, you're only, like, really benefiting, you know, not benefiting yourself by not being open to something like this, because realistically it's about practice, isn't it? Like you said, when you first start these things, the whole time you're just thinking, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, 100%. And it's a good point. I think you got to find a balance. I mean, it isn't for everyone. I mean, guys try and do it and they get frustrated, but it's not about,
you want to try.
It's not about the frustration. It's more just like, just try little bits here and there and you'll slowly get used to it. I think, like, you know, I started off two minutes of breathing.
Yeah.
And
the Wim Hof sort of thing?
More just by myself. Yeah, yourself, some podcasts that my our psychologist at the club gave me and not podcasts. Yeah. Sort of him just talking and I 2 minutes. I was like, I'm over this. Like, this is so boring. And then you get longer and longer. And now I sort of don't even use podcasts. You sort of just
do it yourself.
Sort of just do it yourself for 5 or 10 minutes. And it's all you really need. And just to take a moment out. It's not even meditation. It's sort of just taking a moment out of what you're doing.
Being present.
And being present.
So again, last bit on this. In terms of mindset, like in general, and like going to the next level in 2020 and end of 2019, these things were happening, but is it just that being present for you, or do you have a structure that you do on game day, like going into a game or?
No, I still have a set structure of what I do Monday to Saturday. Yeah. I write down every Sunday night what I'm going to do Monday to Friday. I feel like you need structure.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd understand, like the club, you have a calendar, you know, of what you're doing from 8 a.m.
for
the next 2 years. Yeah. Exactly right. So I feel like I've always been someone that likes to be regimented and likes to have some sort of structure. That's why off season is so hard, because you wake up at 7 or 7:30 and you're like, well, what am I going to do after I finish my running at 10 o'clock? And then you do your weights till 12. You're like, hey, well, I've got 6 hours to kill. Like, what should I do? Should I go call a mate? No, they're all working. So should I go get coffee? But there's only so many coffees.
I know. No, honestly, that thing of structure, I reckon I couldn't agree more, because even since I've left footy and for people listening to understand this, and I think I have spoken about it in the past, but basically, like, you know, you go from primary school, high school to footy, where you're you're literally on a timetable your whole life, and then you go to not having one.
Yep.
I was lost.
Yep.
People would say to me, like, what are you doing tomorrow? I was like, man, I don't even know what I'm doing in the fucking 5 minutes. But now I'm so, like, meticulous.
Yep.
Good word.
It's a great word.
With my like calendar.
Yep.
So like everything I do like goes straight into that. And you need it. Like anyone out there who doesn't, you know, have a good calendar, you've got to invest in just your phone and link it with your laptop. 100%. It just goes in, it goes out, goes in.
100%.
Mate, on footy, obviously incredible year, as we touched on. Talk us through some of your toughest opponents and your most respected guys you've played on and who you look up to.
First one I can sort of reel off is Pendlebury. Is someone that I've always grown up, I was a Collingwood supporter growing up, and someone that I've loved, and because he had that basketball background, I was like, oh, he's like me, like basketball, then transitioned to footy. Like, I was like, I have to love him. Like, he's a ripper. And he's actually, I've met him a couple of times, and he's a really good bloke. And he's a good dude.
Yeah.
And he's really respectful. And his analysis of games and the way he sees football is incredible. He's someone that, I've really looked up to. Travis Boak's another one that, for what he's doing at his age, is pretty incredible. And sort of both of them are sort of define the, oh, your peak's at 27, that's it. Like after 30, you get like 1 year deals. And it's like, shouldn't be like that anymore. Like the way recovery and technology these days, like people are sort of beating that odds. So someone that I really look up to. And toughest opponent, I've had a few. I think Ed Curnow's one that I remember my first half against Carlton this year, I was playing really well. And then he clamped me second half, and he's just a little
He's not there.
Nothing phases him.
I don't even know how to explain it. Again, it was funny you said this because someone else said the same thing about Ed once before, but he is so mentally like switched on to something.
Yeah.
If you said like, do this, you know, stare at that wall for 3 hours, he'd be like, just staring at it till like he could look through it.
But he's someone that you want to play with because you know he doesn't care how many touches he has in the midfield. He just wants to win and play his role, and it's what every midfielder needs.
100%.
And as a forward line, I think that there's been a couple. I mean, Ben Stratton's one that's very tough. Just always on you, niggling you the whole time. I guess probably them two. And Geelong's defense, like Jake Holliday, he's someone that's a very good defender as well.
Obviously, superstar player, great year. But does that give you the green light when it comes to coach praise? Does Goody just look the other way if you stuff up, if you're not running both ways, if you stuff up off the field? Does he still give it to you?
Yeah, for sure.
Does anything stick out? It might have even been earlier coaches.
I can't actually think of. He gives sprays, but he doesn't.
They're not personal.
He calls them dad chats to me. So they're not. It's more like I'm disappointed. Like I'm not.
Yeah, that's, you know,
like
worse.
I'm not angry. It's probably worse. I wouldn't say he's actually ever yelled at me and abused me. He's very good in the way he sort of speaks to me and talks to all our players, I guess. I'm probably definitely running defensively is definitely something that pops up every second week, I reckon.
Mate, you mentioned before that you're a basketballer. We all know this basketball transition into footy like Scott Pendlebury, but I know that's not true. You're actually an ice hockey transition into basketball, transition into footy.
This is some deep stuff.
So,
wow.
Can you tell me now that ice hockey is actually the best?
You said this would rock me before,
transition into AFL.
Wow. That's I love the Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
You guys watch the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Knuckle Puck.
So, yep.
Goldberg.
Yep, Goldberg.
Close mate.
Yep. And my brothers and I were obsessed with it. Absolutely obsessed with it.
I think everyone was. I had the t-shirt.
Yeah. And I went to I remember my brother had these rollerblades, and all I said to mum was like, I want to do ice hockey. I want to play ice hockey. And she's like, Christian, like we're in Warrandyte. Like, there's no ice around. Like, I'm not paying for you to go to Mount Buller 5 hours away to play ice hockey. But I remember mum, I think maybe for my birthday or something, she gave me she went to Ballistics in Ringwood.
Yeah.
It was like, and she bought me before it was like skating and that. I think it was like a sports store. And she gave me like, she bought me a hockey puck and a stick. And then she bought me some rollerblades for myself. And I remember in the backyard, I used to
just love
it's knuckle puck time. Yeah. It's like wow, that's good by you.
Thank you.
And then transition to basketball. So the agility sort of worked out.
I think basketball gets too much credit these days. Yeah. I think that if he's half serious and any recruiters, because a lot of recruiters, we know that.
So I should be thanking Wayne Gretzky.
Exactly. And Goldberg.
And Goldberg.
Because like I said, they will be now, recruiters will be funneling those channels, of ice hockey, which we know. Last one that I've dug up on you, mate, because this is a weird one. You said before about your diet, and it wasn't great early days, but is it true you still like eating meat pies after games?
Wow, you've definitely messaged my brother. I know this for a fact. And you want me to tell the story behind this?
Tell the story.
That's good, mate. So who doesn't love a $2.50 meat pie after a game?
Oh, man, meat pies were the goats.
So, Canines were the best thing in the world.
You loved them.
So I remember Sunday arvos was when we used to play games. So I was playing for Warrandyte, and our team wasn't great. We were in gold division, which is
we gold,
YJFL.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
We'd get pumped. We'd lose by 100 points every game. I remember it got to like 7 rounds left. I'm like, I don't want to play. Like, to mum, I'd wake up like, I don't want to play. Like, it's embarrassing. Like, it's really embarrassing. And I was playing 2 years above my age group. No, I was playing a year. And I was like, I don't want to play. Like, I want to just quit. I want to play in the year level below me. I want to, I want to play in the midfield and all this stuff. And she's like, just, you got 6 games left. Like, don't worry about it. Like, just move on. And I remember mum was on like, I think mum was away for that weekend. And my dad drove me, and my brother's like, all right, we'll come watch you play. I got 2 older brothers, 31 and 29. And so there's a bit of an age gap, and their footy, senior footy, was very physical. So they'd rip me every time I'd play and give me heaps of advice. And I remember we're playing against Heidelberg, I think. No, Glenn Iris. And I was playing full forward, and there was this big guy on me. He was very fat. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I couldn't probably say that myself. Yeah, I was fat at the time too. And it was a ground ball. And I remember he beat me in a race. He sprinted over there, got there before me. And I think I tried to tackle him, and he shrugged me off, and like, I fell to the ground, and I didn't hear about, like, I heard about it for the next hour and a half in the car ride home. Like, you're so shit. Like, can't believe a fat guy beat you to the ball. Like, just typical older brother stuff. And I remember I was like the biggest, I was like, 12, and I just caused the biggest hissy fit, like cracked it. I was like, you guys are a joke. Like, I hate you all. And I had this meat pie. My brother was sitting next to me in my dad's ute, and I threw the meat pie at him. And I remember it was real hot, and it burnt all his neck and the dad's window, and dad cracked it. And I remember, like, you know when you have fights with your parents, like, you sort of pack your bag.
Yeah.
I remember I sort of, I'm leaving, like, where's
mum? Did you pack up?
Yeah. I took my little toy and like packed my bag, and I went down like the street for like 100 meters and came back.
Well, how far were you away for, do you reckon? How long?
Oh, like 40 minutes.
40, yeah. When did you get hungry?
Took my rollerblades. Yeah.
Hockey stick?
Hockey stick, yeah.
Done. Off to the US. Yeah. Oh, shit, that's good. Okay, we appreciate that. And I can't confirm who that was. A good source never reveals his secrets. Now, we spoke about the transition to hockey, but one thing we love, I love talking about your off-field stuff. You're a very busy man. You love your travel, as we touched on earlier, and huge trip. Was it last year?
Yep.
2019, you went over to the States. So that was a bit of an off-season trip / training camp. How was it? What did you get up to?
It was amazing. Yeah.
And just on that quickly, sorry, before we go, obviously being basketball background, good mates with Ben Simmons. I'm assuming this time of year, sort of at the end of the season, there's always someone in the team that starts trying to get a little bit closer to you because they know you're going to hang out in the NBA.
Yeah.
Who are those guys? Because you're going on these trips.
Everyone
knows you're going to go over there, you're going to hang out with the NBA players. And there must be someone the second half of the year that starts to just slowly work their way in, just like asking questions about what you're doing in the off-season.
Yeah. Well, I think the funny thing is that when did I go with... I went with Harmsy and Dom Tyson and Nick Pierce, Dom's friend. I went in end of 2017. And I don't think... So I was like, I'm going to go to America. I'm going to go see Ben. They're like, we're going to go to America. Do you want to link up? And I was like, yeah, no worries. Like, I'll message Ben. We'll go to a game. And I don't think the people at the club sort of realised I was actually really good friends with him friends with him. And they thought, oh, he's just played basketball with him when he was 7 and... bullshit, he'll get caught, so whatever, tickets. And, but that sort of trip in 2017, we went and watched Philadelphia. This is a funny story. We went behind the scenes, like we went to the buffet, we met the coach, and they were like in awe. They were like, this is ridiculous. But the funny thing was, like, I was like, oh, we'll get courtside tickets. But I was the one that got the courtside tickets. They were up in the bleachers. So I was on like the celebrity row.
That's so good.
With Ben's brother, and like they were sort of... they were actually in good spots. They were in the bleachers, I lie. And But then after the game, Ben's like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, oh, we got a train ride back to New York, because Philadelphia's an hour and a half away. Like, oh, we got a train ride back to Philly, to New York. He's like, oh, don't worry about that. Like, cancel it. Like, we'll go to a few nightclubs over there.
And in they Philadelphia?
Were in New York. So we drove down. Like, I drove, this is even a funny story. I drove down in Ben's Range Rover, and then they had to get a cab. So it cost them like $400 American, I reckon. Nah, it didn't cost them that much, but they did drive down in a cab. I got to give them that. And so we go to these nightclubs, and they're like, this is Harmsy. And they're like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is so cool. Like, we're in a nightclub with Ben and a few other players. And then the music stopped. This is in One Oak in America, New York. And the music stops, and they're like, all right, like, Ben goes to me like, oh, I got a little surprise for you. And I was like, what do you mean? Microphone, like, LeBron James in the building. Like, LeBron comes, J.R. Smith, Dwayne Wade, Channing Tatum, Isaiah.
Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that was weird. These are NBA players. I'm more excited about Channing Tatum.
He's a hilarious dude.
Is he?
So they just lost. This is when Miami, Cleveland sort of created like this old veteran type team, like Derrick Rose and the team, but he wasn't there. And they weren't good. Like, they just didn't connect. And they lost by 30 that night to Brooklyn. And then like an hour later, they're in the nightclub with us, like 1 a.m. And like shook LeBron's hand. Like, they all met LeBron. And it was just pretty like full on. You're like, we're in a nightclub. Yeah. We're in a booth, like drinking red wine with LeBron and stuff. And it wasn't until we woke, like we went, like obviously we left there, like probably left there like 4 and went home and fell asleep. And you sort of wake up, you're like, that actually really happened. Like, you're like, holy shit. Message Ben, I was like, mate, like, that is arguably the best night I reckon I'll ever have, like, ever. Like, thank you. All the boys are so appreciative. And I think word got out, like, I think Dom, a few of the boys told their WhatsApp group.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So they should, like.
Oh, yeah.
And then it got out to Herald Sun, like, oh, Melbourne boys are partying with LeBron. But it wasn't, we weren't partying with LeBron. Like,
you were.
We shook his hand. and that he ignored us. So,
that counts.
Okay. That was pretty cool. But yeah, every year sort of, when we got America. But this year, Salem was fortunate enough to come to America with me. So
yeah,
that was fun. So we did our training camp in Portland, which was amazing. So the Nike headquarters.
So did you just, because obviously you're a Nike athlete, did you just contact them and be like, we want to come over and check it out? Or?
Well, I saw Bontempelli, Travis Boak and Josh Dunkley do it the year before I did. And I messaged Bonten. I said, yeah, really random. Sorry, I got your number off the Nike guy. Just want to know how was the Nike trip. Like, I really want to do it. And he goes, mate, it was really beneficial. Do this, and this. And the guys who sort of you work with are unbelievable. There's a trainer called Keith who was amazing. And sort of, it was sort of similar stuff to what you do here. But it's just the actual layout is just incredible. Like, you're there on the Nike headquarters. The trainer's unbelievable. The facilities you're training on are incredible. And it's not just like the... You're sort of being a Nike athlete or being an athlete, and they sort of treat you like you are like a LeBron or something. That's probably the coolest thing I found. Like, you're there, everyone's really respectful. Everyone knows you're an athlete. Like, g'day Christian. Like, everyone knows who you are and what sessions you're doing. And there's so many things I took out of it. I mean, we spoke to this guy called Howard who worked with LeBron, worked with Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
You sat with him for an hour and a half, and some of the, you know, stories you hear that you know, he heard from, well, not heard, he was with Michael Jordan, stuff like that stuff it's pretty cool.
What did you take, like, is there anything that you still use from that now? Like,
yeah, there's a few stretching things you sort of take from there, and sort of exercises with just some strength stuff, but more the, like, there's a few books he gave me, Howard, that he wrote on more off the field, like your mindset and stuff, that I've sort of read, and they're really, really cool.
Did you meet any other cool athletes there? I saw you put up a cool photo with Alu
Jacoby.
Yeah,
I know the last name.
Yeah,
Jacoby.
So he was ran the Boston Marathon. He broke the record.
Yep, first person ever to do under 2 hours in a marathon.
Yeah,
I worked it out.
Was that pre him doing that, or
I think it was post Boston? No, maybe post Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they worked it out. 17 seconds per 100 meters on average he was running for 42 Ks.
And for people out there, like, I don't know what you run, and you're probably a lot better than me, but like, comment. We used to do 2Kers and 2K time trials, and my best ever run was a 6:25.
Wow.
So that's 3 minutes 12 K pace. Yeah. And he's beating 42 kilometers.
It's pretty crazy.
And the best one I've ever seen in AFL would be like Tom Scully, Ed Curnow. They run sort of like 5:50. So it's pretty much running at their pace for 42Ks. Yep.
It's crazy. But he, when I met him, he doesn't speak English, so you can't really, I don't really have many stories.
I
remember.
You didn't go to One Oak with him?
No. I remember they had like a, Ali Kachobi's coming to Nike headquarters and like everyone sort of stopped what they're doing. Heaps of people on campus. But the interviewer was asking the hardest questions, but he doesn't speak English. So he's like, what was your mindset like when you were 21Ks in? He's like, yes, very good. Everyone's classic. Didn't really know what to say.
It's a good answer.
It's a great answer.
Good answer. Mate, talk us through your love for basketball, I suppose, in general, but CP3, Chris Paul. Is he your favourite player still?
CP3 is not.
He's not.
Westbrook.
Westbrook.
Okay. So this is so funny.
Is this something that happens?
I know where this has happened.
Okay. So
I've been called CP5.
That's the,
which is the biggest.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it at all.
There we go.
I like it, but I like it because it's CP5. But
yes.
The story behind it is so arrogant and someone said to me, the media guy for Melbourne was behind me one day walking in the corridor and someone said to me, oh, CP3. And I was like, oh, no, it's... No, wouldn't it be CP5 or something like that?
Yeah.
And then he... And the day later... So he writes that down and then the day later goes, Chris
Petrarca...
You want
to be known as CP5?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was just like... So now CP5 is a thing, I guess. So, but it was at a time when I was just into the club.
Yeah,
the
league.
I was like, who is this arrogant prick calling himself CP? But it's... Was wrong.
It makes sense.
But
okay.
Russell Westbrook's my favorite player.
Well, it's good that we've put that out into the world now.
Thank you.
And people know that. So I knew that. I just wanted to clear it up, obviously. Russell Westbrook. There's a really good song about Russell Westbrook. Do you like Little Dicky? Have you ever heard of Little Dicky?
I met him. I met him at the bowling. Bowling. I met him
because he loves Philadelphia, doesn't
he? Philly.
Yeah.
I met him.
So
I got a photo on my phone, actually, of him.
We'll get this up. Lil Dicky is like one of my favorite rappers.
He's
hilarious. Anyone's never seen his stuff, he's hilarious, but he's actually really good too.
Have you heard his rap on Sway?
Yes. It is unbelievable. We'll put it in the show notes. It is stunt. It's funny, but it's actually
he's
legit.
He's a lyrical genius. Yeah.
Where's this going? He does this one about Russell Westbrook. Yep. And I'm not massively into basketball. Obviously, I know who Russell Westbrook is, but I'll send you this one he does about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, basically about how if he never knew his own sort of strength and what he could be. It's incredible. It sounds terrible, but I'll send it to you. We'll do that. Now, on basketball, and I suppose this is transitioning to the next part that I love about you and I really want to talk about. It's not necessarily about the sport, but it's about the branding of it.
Yep.
We had Ben Crow on a podcast a while ago.
Mojo Crow,
incredible. So he was fantastic. And obviously he used to work for Nike as well. So he used to work with Phil Knight and everything. And he talked a lot about storytelling athletes and how Nike would always try and paint a picture of the athlete and not 100%. Just about the athlete itself, but about the person.
Yep.
And I feel like you do that better than most people in the AFL. And the way you have your social media, you put up the things you like your basketball, the shoes, the things that you're interested in outside of footy. Is that something that you actually think about? Is it something that you actually go no, I want these to be my things. I want people to affiliate me with this look or this style or these sort of thoughts. Because you look at NBA and basketball, and I feel that is basketball. Players have that, they have that sort of those brands that they know what they're affiliated with.
Yeah, I think... Firstly, social media is a really good platform if you want to express your ideas and you want to sort of start your own type of thing or you want to show people what you're doing. I think it's also a bad thing because then you can cop a little bit of heat on that. But I think the more I've gotten comfortable with who I am as a person and comfortable in my own skin, I feel like I've just sort of just been throwing up photos and not really caring what people care or people think about me as long as I really like them, to be honest. And I think I love fashion. I love people. I love meeting new people. I love clothes. I love shoes. So I try and express that as much as possible. And I've created a really good relationship with Nike. The guy at Nike, Curtis Evans, is one of my good mates and he's an absolute ripper. So he definitely helps me out. So I'll shout him out there.
Yeah, we like Curtis. I don't know him, but I'd like to be friends with him.
Yeah, everyone would like to be friends. Everyone would like to be friends with Curtis Evans. So I'm blessed to have him as part of my life because I wouldn't be doing this branding stuff if it wasn't for me.
Nah, man, you are killing it. For people who haven't checked out your Instagram and socials, at Christian Petrarca, because it is, man. Like, it's aesthetically so pleasing. Like, I know that sounds really strange, but, you know, like your sneakers, and it's things that I'm really into too, and I know that that's what we sort of chatted about before the podcast. That was sort of our relationship based on shoes. But it is funny, isn't it? Because, like, you look at NBA in America, and it's so promoted there. Like, it's so cool to be your own person and be yourself and embrace
society, it. Man.
Why do you think we do this, man?
It's called, like, Poppy Syndrome.
Is that what it is?
100%.
What, like, because I, like you, like, I gave up a long time ago caring what people think.
Yeah.
And, like, I wouldn't do this if I cared because, like, obviously there's people that hate it, you 100%. Know, and they hate me for doing it. I don't really care. Like, I don't want you to hate me, but, like, what's your process around that? Like, why do you
Australian society. It's the... I feel like our generation is getting, and even younger, are getting away from that and starting to become your own person and not really caring what anyone thinks and focusing on, like, that NBA in terms of, like, branding and throwing up stuff and not really caring. I just think it's, like, it's just that tall poppy syndrome, I find. Like,
do, no, 100%.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, 100%. It's like, oh, you can't be too good for yourself type thing. Like,
yeah. Don't put yourself out there.
Like, you know, you should be all, like, you know, really humble and respectful. It's like, you still are humble and respectful, but you're just showing who you are as a person. And that's probably going back to my first year, it's probably one thing that I struggle with, and probably the AFL struggle with, in terms of, not struggle with, they probably weren't used to me being so confident and being so expressive of who I am and what I, like, sort of just say what I say.
Yeah.
So I guess probably that's what happened at the start. But I feel like our, especially the younger boys, like Cozzy Pickett and Luke Jackson and Trent Rivers are guys who we drafted this year. And they're awesome because they just so chilled out and they're their own person. I feel like, you know, your culture at the club is really good when you can just sort of accept people for
embrace
who they are. 100%.
I couldn't agree more, man. And even with that, like, when I first got into the system, it was so much like that. You know, like, I wasn't playing every week, but I love doing, like, media stuff, and they'd be like, what are you fucking doing, man? Yeah. Like, go get a game first, go get a kick. And I was like, oh, well, like, I just never really, I was like, well, why can't I still do this? But then I believed it, you know? I was like, oh, well, yeah, I can't do it unless I'm doing 100%. This. And, like, if I didn't get to the Giants, where they were a younger culture and they were just like, man, fucking go for it, you know, embrace it, be 100%. Like this. And then you just think, well, fuck, the only reason people ever really shoot other people down is because they wish they probably were doing it themselves.
Well, my 2019 year when we, after the prelim, my 2019 year when we were terrible, I deleted Instagram. I was like, nah, like, don't want to cop the hate. Like, if I put up an Instagram, like, all this stuff.
Mm.
Then after that, I was like, stuff it. Like, who cares? Like, I don't really give a shit how many posts I put up a week or what this person thinks of me. Like, as long as my girlfriend says something, then I'm like, all right, fair enough.
Yeah,
like,
that's a game changer.
Or your family's like, oh, shit, like, what are you doing type thing. That's all I care about is what my girlfriend says or my family says and what my you know, my teammates say.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Totally agree. On AFL, and I suppose you're looking at guys with brands and whatnot now, because you look at, like, some of the young guys coming through, as you said, like Cozzy Pickett, and someone that stands out, like, is Bailey Smith. Like,
100%.
He's, you know, he's got, like, an awesome brand. He's obviously a mad dog. Who would you invest in? Okay.
Wow. Oh, Bailey Smith for sure.
Do you invest in Bailey
100%.
Smith?
Yeah. I can model for Calvin Klein.
Yeah, because sometimes I look at players, for example, and you said it before, and you got, like, because that tall poppy syndrome's so, like, in our brain that, like, I still look at guys sometimes and I go, oh, this guy's fucking carrying on a bit.
Yeah.
And then I go, no, fuck that. Like, he's actually killing it. Like, well done. Like, love it. But you got to catch yourself out on it. And the more 100%. You keep catching yourself 100%. Out, like, you're like, yeah, that's sick. Like, I love that. And you could say the same thing. Like, I used to see all these young guys on TikTok, and I was like, fuck, come on, boys, like, 100%. You know, do your shit. And I'm like, no, actually, fuck that. Like, let them do their thing, man. Like, let them, like, they're just doing their thing. Like, that's smart. Like, 100%. I should have done that, you know?
I feel like if you're not posting, see, I get caught in it sometimes as well. Like, I feel like I have to post some workout to show that I'm actually working out.
Yeah.
It, like, kind of annoys me. It's like, oh, like, the gym yesterday's like, oh, I have to put up a photo so people know that I'm working out.
Yeah.
It's like, then I'm like, what are you doing? Like, shut up. Like, it's just sort of like, you're fine, like, type thing. You sort of, I sometimes get into it, but then you're like, at the same time, you're like, no, who cares? But I follow, Stephen Keneally's got a really cool Instagram.
Yeah, he does.
I really like his, I like.
Love his art.
I love it, 100%. And he's a fellow Italian, so I respect that. Nick Natanui's cool. Got a really cool brand.
Boak's got a good brand too.
Boak's got a very cool Red Bull.
Yeah.
He's a really good dude.
Dusty Martin's
a good one. See, he's someone that's like, his brand's different than everyone's because he's like, you can almost tell he's an introvert.
But he's got like
stuff. But he's got his brand going where he doesn't post much, but people follow him because he's like that, yeah. I reckon that's really cool. There's heaps of people that...
What about
the AFL that's sort of getting that?
Yeah, and I think the NRL do it well. Like, I don't actually support the NRL, like, in terms of watching every week, but, like, Kalen Ponga,
yeah.
He's so sick. Like, he's got such cool things going
on.
He does,
100%.
Like, yeah, we just need to embrace it because otherwise you just get that bad, like, connotation 100%. Towards it. In terms of NBA guys or, you know, any other athletes, who do you take inspiration from in terms of that? Is there anyone you follow that you love?
Westbrook's fashion is off its head.
Yeah, would you, like next year, right? You know how we did that trial of the rocking up in kits?
I would rock
Would you
one.
Do it?
Yeah.
What would you wear?
Oh, that is a hard question.
Would you go hard? I'd have
to, what, for the AFLX thing?
No, like every week. I'm talking every week. They said, no, you can rock up with whatever you want.
Yeah.
Hunt, you've got to, man.
I'd rock like
Curtis would
I'd
be
rock,
happy.
I'd rock like a three piece with the Air Maxes or something.
Would
like
you?
Something like that, yeah.
That's sick.
It'd be bloody hard. They dress every day.
That's what I mean. You gotta have a lot of clothes.
Ours is like, you can sort of tell, we play on the weekends. Yeah. So you can sort of know what you're wearing from Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
So that's I would love that.
Have you ever asked Ben Simmons, like, how do they get clothes? Like, no, obviously they buy them. Do they have a stylist or something?
Yeah, they have a stylist. Yep. Yeah, they have a stylist.
That's sick. That's really cool.
Well, they're on so much money, like $500 for a pair of Gucci shorts.
Yeah.
It's like 50 cents.
So, but like what because like they don't really, they sort of live out of hotels, don't they?
Yeah.
So like they wouldn't travel with their clothes or no, would someone
probably,
just.
They'd probably buy where they are.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Well, I'm pretty sure PJ Tucker, when he went to the hub, I think he took over 150 shoes and no, he wasn't, he was just gone from his hotel to the game, to the bubble. Yeah, it's pretty full on. He's actually, PJ Tucker is someone that's got, you should look him up. He's got the best sneaker collection I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I have seen, my mate sends me his stuff all the time.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Swaggy P has some cool things too. I like his, because he played in 500s.
He did.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
A shout out to Push Pull as well, a brand that I really like.
Australian brand?
Yep. A couple of boys from Melbourne area.
Check that out.
Good things.
Mate, what's next for Christian Petrarca? Obviously, big year coming up next year. Let's talk footy first. Like, what are you focusing on this year? I know we spoke earlier, you just came from Pilates. You've been training really hard, but also trying to have a break. So I think that's a big thing. Like you said, you already know it, but you train too hard this time of year. You just cook yourself and you're already done for the rest. Are you doing anything different this year? Like, I know Pilates you said, but is there something else you're looking at doing or?
Not necessarily. I think just sort of what worked last year, sort of just, you know, keep that routine going and keep that structure. You try and do little things here and there. Like I'm doing a little bit more plyometrics type stuff and trying to get a bit more jump. But
so what's that for? Like, I think I know what that is, but that's more like just jumping speed.
Pretty much, repeat. Yeah. Repeat speed, repeat jumping type stuff, counteractive movement type jumping stuff. So it won't affect you much, but I like doing that stuff. I don't really do much leg weights because I'm so big in terms of, also heavy.
Yeah.
So, and I felt like if I did, I would put on weight. So I do a lot more agility, a lot more band resistance type stuff. Yeah. So, that's something that I've sort of incorporated. But other than that, just, my yoga and Pilates type stuff. And as you said, this time of the year, I mean, it's November. We don't go back till January the 5th.
You gotta refresh.
So you gotta, I feel like you see people on Instagram doing workouts and 5 a.m. and whatever and training. And you really gotta get out of your head like, oh, I shouldn't be. Sometimes you go, oh shit, I should be training more.
Being sometimes like, I feel like the more you post about that, you're just trying to like, you know, 100%. You said before, like if you, I think, and again, Chris Judd always used to say like, it's when you train, he used to say this to like the club, he's just like, when you train, like you train not to like show someone, you're training just to like get it in your own bank, you know?
100%.
And normally like he said that like he'd always do sessions and not tell anyone about them. Cause he was like, then it was just purely him benefiting from it. Because he would say like, he'd even compete with other people.
Yeah,
it's like,
100%.
Well, if you tell me you're doing a session, then it's like, well, fuck, maybe I might do one too.
100%.
It's like, well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. It's a competitive thing. You don't want to, you're on an edge.
It is.
And AFL is a team game.
Yeah.
But you still want,
you're still fighting for
spots in your team and stuff like that. So I understand that perspective. At the same time as well though, like especially this time of the year, like you don't want to burn out. So if you're doing, as we said before off mic, if you're training so much, I mean, it's November. Like, the season will start till another 5 months away in March. So you don't want to be peaking now. And then, you know, by the time March comes around, you're absolutely cooked. So you want to sort of slowly, steadily build up. So my Tuesday, Thursdays, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, when I do my running and my leg weights. But then Tuesday, Thursdays, some guys like to do off legs and stuff. I sort of just try and do some mindfulness or yoga or some Pilates and sort of keep... It's off legs, but it's still... It's actually still hard, so it's good.
Off the field, and I suppose this is what I love talking about with you. Like, what do you feel like is next for you off field? I know you're only shortly into your career, but like, do you want to ever start anything there? Like, you're in your fashion. Is it a label? Like, is fashion something you want to get into? Like, or
so hard the fashion. Like, Australian society is just not Australian society. The Australian
how do you describe market?
Market. It's just so small. I feel like you got to really break through if you're here.
You got the contacts.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You do have the contacts.
It's something, I do, but I don't. Like, I just feel befooled. I feel like outside of footy, like off when I finish footy, I probably would do something. But at the moment, I'm just so switched on with footy. Yeah. I don't really see anything. Like, I'm doing uni. I'm doing commerce marketing at Swinburne. So doing one subject a semester, and that's been really good. I got exams coming up soon, so that's sort of takes your mind off things. And my brother just renovated my house for me. Yep. Dynamic Built Construction.
Yes,
so
we love that. Best builders in the Australia.
Yep.
I need a builder, so we'll be in touch.
Oh wow, okay, yeah.
I've already got his number.
Beautiful. So he's been awesome. So he's someone that that helped me with that. And I feel like at the start of the renovation when I did it, you have no idea what the hell is going on. Like, tradies work in millimeters, like 400 mil.
I know.
Just say 40 centimeters. Like, it's so much, it's so much easier. Like, yeah, that's 300 mil. You're like, cool. So that's something that like I struggle with, especially like quotes and invoices. And now that it's finished, it's been the best thing. Like, I've absolutely loved it. Like, it's something construction is something I want to do down the path.
Like property development.
Property
sort
development,
of
stuff, you know, buying an old house, renovating it, flipping it over. So we'll see how we go,
No, I love it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've absolutely loved having you on today, bro. I've learned so much. And extremely, extremely impressive unit. I'm looking forward to 2021 for you because I know it's going to be huge. So
appreciate it.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Dylan Friends podcast. If you liked it, it'd be a massive help if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I'll even give you a kiss. The show is produced by Dylan Buckley and Sam Bonza. Damon Jackman from Creative Edge Films is responsible for audio and visual editing. Samuel Kenny Creative looks after graphics and animation, and the podcast is recorded at the Dylan Friends Studio, which sounds fancy, but really, a friend had a spare room at his office, and I took it over. If you'd like to get in contact to suggest a guest or advertise with the Dylan Friends podcast, you can email us at inquiries@dylanfriends.com, which will also be in the show notes. Thanks so much for tuning in.